From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Obama and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met for more than 90 minutes at the White House today. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports it was a tense discussion on how to begin peace negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians.
President Obama believes the starting point for negotiations over Palestinian-Israeli peace should be Israel's 1967 borders. Prime Minister Netanyahu says those borders are indefensible because they do not take into account changes on the ground over the last 44 years.
Remember that before 1967, Israel was all of 9 miles wide, half the width of the Washington Beltway. And these were not the boundaries of peace. They were the boundaries of repeated wars because the attack on Israel was so attractive.
Both men acknowledged their differences and said they share the goal of peace. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, the White House.
Now that lawyers have posted $1 million bond allowing former IMF head Dominique Strauss-Kahn to be freed from a New York jail, there still appears to be some question about where he will ultimately wind up. Respective sides were back in court today to determine where Kahn will go. Condition of his release has been he will be placed under house arrest with an armed guard. Strauss-Kahn has been held at Rikers Island. The 62-year-old former IMF leader faces charges he sexually assaulted a maid at a New York City hotel. Demonstrations were staged across Syria today, defying official predictions that unrest is dying down. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from Beirut.
Familiar grim scenes were posted to the internet by activists defying the regime's efforts to keep a lid on the continuing unrest. They showed tear gas and live ammunition being fired by security forces and fleeing demonstrators, some throwing stones. The videos could not be verified. Pro-regime analysts blamed the violence on armed gangs and said the fractured opposition, with what they called vague demands, was responsible for the delay in starting a dialogue. Demonstrators reached by phone said their demands are clear, that President Bashar al-Assad must go and political reform must be implemented. Peter Kenyon, NPR News.
Residents of southern Louisiana are waiting and watching to see where water flowing through the Morganza spillway winds up. NPR's Jeff Brady says the small town of Crouch Springs has built 2 miles of temporary levees.
The Louisiana National Guard is patrolling the streets of Crotch Springs in sand-colored military trucks. They're also keeping curious residents off levees. Town Clerk Suzanne Bellow says the community is prepared, but also on edge.
I think people are anxious, you know, and worried because they don't know, just like all of us, what the outcome is going to be.
Crotch Springs sits next to the Atchafalaya River, which is expected to crest next week. Jeff Brady, NPR News, New Orleans.
On Wall Street, all the major indexes were dragged sharply lower today due to weak earnings reports from a number of major retailers, including The Gap. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 94 points. The NASDAQ Composite down 20. The S&P 500 was down 10 points. You're listening to NPR News in Washington. An administrative law judge is ordering a Los Angeles-based labor contractor to pay more than $340,000 in fines and penalties for improperly treating Thai farm workers in Hawaii. The penalty announced by the U.S. Department of Labor is just the latest blow to the company that's also faced federal scrutiny for allegations involving human trafficking. In the 146-page legal decision, the judge ordered Global Horizons to pay $152,000 in back wages to farm workers and $194,000 in fines. The president of Tokyo Electric Power is resigning. The company operates the Fukushima nuclear plant, and it's reporting massive losses in the aftermath of the March earthquake and tsunami. Reporter John Matthews has that story from Tokyo.
Masataka Shimizu says he will be stepping down as TEPCO's president in a practice common in Japan when taking responsibility for mismanagement or other mistakes. Shimizu, set to be replaced by a senior executive within TEPCO, has come under fire from critics for mishandling the nuclear crisis and failing to make a timely, formal apology in person. Shimizu departs as TEPCO reports a record $15 billion in losses this past fiscal year, with the utility responsible for victim compensation payments that could reach more than $100 billion. The public spotlight is expected to stay on Tokyo Electric as it works to stabilize its nuclear situation, which it expects to resolve by January. For NPR News, I'm John Matthews.
Dozens of people suffered serious injuries, while hundreds more banged around when a commuter train crashed while coming into a station in South Africa late yesterday. Officials say the crash involving a moving train and a stationary train occurred late Thursday at a rail station in Soweto. According to South Africa's railway safety regulator, 700 people total were injured. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.